Tonight, I think we really speak about an essential ingredient in any relationship. And it's an ingredient that we all look past. We kind of don't value in the way that we should value it. When the word is raised, we kind of get bored. But it is so critical to any relationship. And we're going to look at its effect tonight. And particularly how this word affects in the couples that my wife and I have counseled. Just the number of breakups. And how central this idea is going to be to just breakups when couples say it's over and kind of I'm done. Now in this series, we've been addressing the big question many of us ask. You know, we ask the question, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? And we date. And then we keep asking this question because we want to know, God, is this my soulmate? Is this the one? And in my observation, I kind of see this dating cycle. And it kind of happens like this. So we meet Jess or we meet Jack and we've been looking for them for so long, for weeks, and then we bump into them and we look at their smile and oh, he's so funny, and then we're like, oh, she's so pretty, and so this must be the one. And then there's this exclusive dating relationship and there's this love gush in the air, and you can feel this new love. It's like a breeze when they walk past you, like, you know, you're in this whirlwind. And they say things like, oh, he's so perfect, and oh, she's so awesome, and they just love sick, and you like, get a room. And in this phase, the communication kind of intensifies. They're WhatsApping all the time. They're WhatsApping in class or in lectures, or they're on the phone at like 12 at night or 1 at night, and they're just talking, and it's just so intense. And there are these radical acts of love. You know, I've seen crazy things happen. Like, some people do assignments for the other person. It's a healthy assignment for you. And they're clocking A's. And then, you know, I'll drive to Durban for you and I'll bring flowers or whatever. But there's just this radicalness. And this relationship is just full of song and attraction. And, yo, it's intense. I mean, it's intense. And then there's this bump. And something changes. And there's this breakup. And they write a love song and they part ways. And then we go to Jess and then we go to Sam. And the same thing happens again. There's this dating cycle. And then we go to the next partner and the same cycle happens. And it's generally at the baton, you know, at the breakup, where Chris and I'll get that phone call because that's kind of what pastors are for. It's like, hey, Ryan, I need a dinner. Oh, cool, yo, we can get dinner next week. No, like tonight. You like me as in tonight. Yo, it's 911. What's happening? No, we're thinking about breaking up. And then I ask questions around why. Why do you want to break up? And inevitably I get the, he's not, she's not. You know, he's not giving me the time that he used to give me. Or she doesn't behave in a way that I like. She does these funny things. Or there's this thing with her nose, and I don't like it, and it's around her appearance. Or his ears. And then, you know, these are reasons for breakup these days. Or they introduce one another to their families. And it's like, but you should meet his family. Like, I'm out. I'm running a mile. And I've heard interests are different. You know, I like chess. I like sport. I like books. I like, whatever. But we have different interests. And so those are reasons to break up. Or I've heard a reason like this. You know, she can't spell. And so I'm calling it a day. I just can't do that. Or they have the discussion around the past. You know, they bring up that difficult topic we spoke of last week. And it's a bump. And then it goes into change or else. And you start dating on these terms. You know, if you don't change, it's all else. It's over. You know, if he doesn't change the way that he dresses, it's done. If she doesn't change this about her, and we start chiseling one another, and it's the change or else game plan. Because there are these unmet expectations. Until we get to that number 4, number 5, number 10, when it's kind of like that time to marry, you know. And because it's time to marry, we think, my friends are doing it, everyone's doing it, it's about the right time, I got a job, I can, you know, kind of. And so then you bump into the, oh, you're the one, yes, you're the one, let's get married. And the big question I want to ask us is, what makes us think that this one will last the 50 or 60 or 70 years when the others didn't make 5 months? I mean, what makes us think that? And I honestly think that it's the right person myth. You know, we have this myth that this is the right person, that this is the one, that this time it's going to be different. But we overlook this essential ingredient. And we generally make our decisions of two things. We either look at their body or personality. I mean, don't kid with me. I don't know if you find yourself, but you walk into that nightclub or into that church or into that sports field or whatever, and you look at that body and you think, this is the one. Or you look at that personality. Oh, so funny. Oh, so quirky. You know, and this is the one. I mean, we're going to make it forever and ever. I don't know if you found yourself making decisions on these two things. But the problem with this is that the Bible says the body is decaying. You know, I used to hop around the hockey field like a rabbit. And the other day I was playing hockey with my wife and I tore my groin. And she ain't digging my pimp-limp anymore. But the body decays. And eventually personality decays. And we overlook this essential ingredient, this essential component, this essential word that makes up strong relationships, that make them long-term. And so Peter, one of the Lord's apostles, one of his disciples, he writes his second letter. He's written his first letter to these guys, Christians, guys and girls scattered all over Asia Minor, and he writes his second letter to them. And this is just before he's going to be killed by Nero, the Roman emperor of that time. And he thinks that this is so important, that this word, that there is a word that sits at the heart of great relationships. Now, I know before you tune me about my Bible handling skills, he is applying it to a community. He is applying it to a gathering of believers. But I think it can apply to the area of relationships. I think it can apply to dating relationships, to married relationships, even to singles. But he is writing to community, so you got me there, okay? But this word, I think, leads to this growing oneness. And in the series, we've been looking at two becoming one and growing for this reason in this oneness of relationship. And this word, I think, survives that infatuation phase. And I think it's the word that should sit at the heart of our selection. And the word is character. And I want to speak about, you know, a leopard can't change its spots, but how God really helps us in growing our character. Then I want to look at the nature of character. And then I want to look at its effect on relationships and on marriage and obviously on our community. So Peter kicks off and he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, he writes to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And then he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so there's this, he wants grace and love and peace to come to these people through an intimate knowing, through knowing God, through knowing Jesus, through knowing what his requirement is, through knowing what he thinks about this word. And then he says, his power, his divine power has given us everything we need. Now, what does your relationship need? Does it need more movies? Does it need more entertainment? Does it need more dinners out? Does your marriage need a house? You know, does it need a dog, a baby? Does it need an upgraded car? You know, what do you think the essential thing is that your relationship needs? And Peter's saying, we have divine power. God has given us his very spirit. He's given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. That through our knowing Jesus, through our knowing God, we have everything that we need for this relationship, for this marriage. He says, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That God has given us promises as we know him. That in his power and as we know him, he gives us promises that enable us to participate in his very divine nature, in the life that he calls us to, in the relationship that he calls us to. These believers would have listened to this and would have known that there was a background here. And false teachers were saying, you know, the Christian standard of marriage or the Christian standard of living, it's too high. So live any way that you like. And by the way, where is God coming good in his promises? All of these promises that he's made, where are they? And Peter's saying, hang on, guys. God has given us divine power that through a knowledge of him and because of his very great promises, we can participate in God healing our characters and in God doing something that would be very unique in our relationships. And he goes on to say, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires, that we don't have to date the same way the world dates anymore. That our marriages don't have to look the same as the world looks. That there's another way. And so he speaks about our character having access to all that we need. And then he goes into these seven qualities that we're responsible to access. The power to change, you know, in our dating relationship. So he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to. And this was a word used in Athens. So the Athenians would put on a play, an annual production, and someone would come along and say, to make this play better, to make this production better, I'm going to give loads of cash. And so he gives cash to this production. And this production becomes something amazing. And it's the same word. For this reason, Peter's saying, make every effort to add to your faith. To add to your faith. And the first quality is goodness. It's this in this community, it's this word that means excellence. That when you serve one another, when you love one another, when you do something, when you volunteer, that you do it with excellence. That this is a character quality, that you don't take shortcuts. That this is something that you should be looking for in your dating partner. And then he says, and to your goodness, add knowledge. You don't want to be stagnant, but you want to add to your faith and knowing God and knowing Christ. You want to be reading your word. You want to be discerning God's will. And then you want to be looking at your relationship and saying, what's the real issue? What's the theme here that I pick up? What's the pattern? What's really going on? Not just blowing up in anger and just shooting off and doing whatever you want, but to grow in discernment, to add to your faith knowledge. And then he says, and to your knowledge, self-control. That you bite your tongue when you really want to say that thing. Or when you're in the area of temptation. That you rule the desires of your heart. Because if you're going to engage now and not be self-controlled now, what's the difference going to be when you're married and she's got three bloodsuckers sucking all the milk out of her and she's not attractive anymore. And then there's that girl and you have no self-control. But if you have self-control now, you know, like a city without walls is like a man without self-control. Just open to invasion, open to anything, open to destruction. Peter's saying, make every effort to add to your faith self-control. Because we have everything we need. We have the power that is required, that God gives us access through his very great promises to change in this area. And then he says, to your self-control, add perseverance. This word has a word of like burning like a log in a fire. Just hanging in there in tough times. That when you have that discussion around your past and you have your bump, that you hang in there. That when you meet your families that you don't like, when you notice those mannerisms that you don't like, when you start having those tough discussions, when the love gush is gone and you move into that season, and before you phone me, Peter's saying, add to your faith, perseverance. Hang in there like a log in fire. You know, job hoppers, ladies, be very careful. Guys, be very careful. Hang in there. Perseverance, long to it. It's a character quality. And to perseverance, add godliness. This word means, does this person think about the lordship of Christ in every single area of life? Is this person adding to their faith the lordship of Christ everywhere? And to godliness, mutual affection. And this is the idea of loyalty. It's almost like a family love. It's like, we're in this together. You know, I'm going to love you like that. Yes, there's fighting. Yes, there's bickering. But there's this mutual affection. And then he says, and add to mutual affection, love. And this is the biggest word. Like it's brackets the bookend here. It's this giving up of your rights. You know when you have the right, it's like, you know, I know that last night she got to hang with her friends and tonight I want to go hang with my friends, but she really wants to hang with me. And just out of your heart, you're like, but I'll give up that right. You know, you lose your rights. You want to date a loser. That's really what this verse is saying. You want to be engaged to a loser where this person is losing their rights, you know, in that kind of sense. And so Peter says, add to your faith, goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love. And he's saying that God gives his power to produce his nature. That these character elements, that this thing that we like, ooh, you know, character again, but we'll look at the body, we'll look at personality, but we'll overlook a person's character. That he's saying that God gives his power, that we have access to his power, for him to change our characters, for him to produce his nature in us, which will affect our community, which will affect our relationships. And then Peter says, because if you possess these qualities, and only if, and here's the condition, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you. So he's speaking to the community, and he knows communities that have character issues. He knows when you put a leader in a community that has character issues, it rips through that community. And so he knows that. But communities are made up of couples and of married couples. And so he's saying, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now, let me ask you in this. How many communities have you seen are ineffective and unproductive because of character issues? And how many couples have you seen because of these qualities that are lacking? We think it's body, we think it's personality, we think it's his fault, we think it's her fault. But how many couples, when you look at them, do you see this ineffectiveness? This couple is like no benefit. It's like incapable of functioning. You know, you see this couple, they're having all this bickering and all these character issues or whatever, and then they can barely go to work. And they're kind of just sitting at their desk at work and doodling and just ineffective, you know, kind of useless. Or how many times I've heard this, you know, when you bring it to the church, it's like, we don't know if we can be community group leaders anymore. Because our relationship is going through rocky roads, and it's because he doesn't do this anymore and she doesn't do this anymore. It just becomes ineffective. And it becomes draining. The relationship drains. It's just draining, and it's expensive. And they may be paying for counseling, or they may be not. And the relationship becomes useless. And that's what Peter's saying. If you possess these qualities, it'll keep you from being ineffective. Or if you possess these qualities, it'll keep you from being unproductive. You know, just not bearing fruit. It's not God's design that people look at your relationship, and people look at your marriage, and they're like, that's how God loves the church. And they're such a witness, you know, to their community. And they're such a serving couple, and such an outward couple, and such it just becomes unfruitful. Have you bumped into relationships like that? It just becomes inward, and it, because we overlook this key word, character. We overlook these qualities. Peter says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. You know, can only see the next 5 weeks or the next 5 months, but doesn't have a long-term view of things. It's kind of blind and short-sighted to know that at the end of the day, what passes from this reality to the next is character. Looks are going to fade, personality is going to kind of cringe up, but character is going to last. And so he's saying, whoever doesn't have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. And so therefore, Peter says to this community and to the couples, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort that you can to add to your faith and to grow in these qualities. If you're going to focus on anything, make every effort. You make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I mean, that you will never trip up, that you'll be able to work through things, that if you work on you, you'll be able to grow through this. That character is a big thing that I see when it comes to couples and breaking up. And then he says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I think if I had to take this text and take a step back and apply it, move from communities to this Are You the One series, I think that Peter's saying that finding the one is kind of less of an emphasis as much as becoming the one. That when you ask, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? And then you go through that bump and that phase, and he's not this, and she's not that, and he doesn't do this, and she doesn't do that. And then it becomes a change or else. It's over. And we go into this cycle, and that we base our decisions on physical and personality, the things that are decaying. It seems like Peter's emphasis is that God gives you everything that you need, that everything that your relationship needs for godliness and for a godly life. And he goes through these seven qualities in increasing measure. Add to your faith these things. And that'll keep you from being an ineffective and unproductive relationship or community or marriage. And that's how we see into the future. And so I came across this question a few months ago, and it really rocked me, and I thought it was so helpful from a pastor in Atlanta, and I've changed it a little bit, but only a little bit, but I found it really helpful. Andy Stanley developed this question. I want to ask it to us, because I think as we think about moving away from finding the one to becoming the one, this is the question we want to ask ourselves. Are you the one you are looking for, is looking for? You see, that's a great question, because are you the one? Not are you the one, are you the one, are you the one, but are you the one that you're looking for, is looking for? And so I kind of want to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Cup. Now they're a couple, okay? And they're a new couple. They've just met, and they met in university, and she looked at him and went, "Ooh, look at that Movember." And he looked at her, and he's like, the love gush just came back, and we're so right for each other, and we're joined at the hip, and look at us, we do everything together, and we SMS all the time, and we just love each other. There's just nothing wrong with us. It's just awesome. And then she notices, and she's like, no one's ever I've never seen a Movember like that before. And then she really hasn't seen a Movember like that before. And on appearance, there's kind of their first bump. And then there's distance. And all of a sudden, he's looking at her, and he's saying, you know, there are these qualities in her I don't like. I just noticed these things about her. And there's just this, there's another bump. And this relationship moves from this love gush and ooh and fairy tale and flawless and so awesome to they really start bumping each other. And what she does is she goes and sees her sister. And she talks to her sister about him, and she's like, you know, when he does that, it makes me so mad. And he goes, well, he goes where every guy goes. He goes to his mom. And he's like, Mom, when she dresses like that, or when she speaks like that, or she's kind of slow in reading, or whatever it is, you know, I get irritated. That's what he's saying. I get so irritated. And she just brings out the worst in me. And then they start having these discussions. Yeah, it's her fault, and it's his fault. And they just blame, 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 blame. And that's what they do. And then they phone me. Now Peter's saying, the reason that this is coming out of you is because it's in you. Did you know? So you can write this down. So look, the reason that pink beads are coming out of you is because they're in you. And the reason that blue beads are coming out of you is because they are in you. And we want to think, she makes me angry, and he makes me irritated, and she makes me so impatient, and he makes me so mad. But Peter's saying, the reason that stuff is coming out of you, like blue beads are coming out of you, they're in you. Well, impatience is in you, and anger is in you. And your irritation and your insecurity that you feel in this relationship, the reason you're insecure is because that's in you. And the reason that you are needy, 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 is because you're needy. And that's in you. And the reason that you're selfish is because that's in you. You know, marriages don't have marriage problems. Marriages have people problems that come into a marriage. And they bump each other. And there's something about romantic relationships and about marriage that brings this stuff out of us. And so the big question that I've been wrestling with over the last sort of 6 months is how do I work on this word? How do I grow in my character? How do I become the one that I was looking for is looking for? How do I become that one that the one that I'm married to is actually wants to be married to? How do I do that? And we've seen in the text that God, if God has given us divine power to change everything that we need for a life of godliness, how do I do that? And the question that I've been wrestling with is, in what way am I ruining the relationship? See, this is such a powerful question. It's been a disturbing question for me. It's been a difficult question for our marriage. But in what way am I ruining the relationship? Did you notice that? In what way am I ruining the relationship? Let's just say, in what way am I ruining the relationship? You see, this, I think with this question, what I've found and what I think happens is that you let the other person in. You know, when you start bumping, this oneness that God designs, you start becoming two-ness. You know, you start moving apart. You start living like ships in the night. Your hearts start hardening towards one another. You know, and your lover becomes your enemy. And the people that loved each other the most now hate each other the most. And you ask, why did that happen? And this question takes that hardness and it starts softening that relationship and leads toward intimacy. It moves from you must, to I'm a mess, to I'm a mess, to I'm a mess. And it starts leading that two-ness that happens back toward oneness. You know, it leads toward intimacy. Now, I was told not to use, but I do enjoy it because it's memorable. But into me see. I want my partner to see into me. I want to let them in by asking this question. In what way am I ruining the relationship? And so for any of you who are single and want a date, you can maybe do it on Valentine's night, maybe not yet because you're still in the love gush phase. But if you're going through a rocky road and you're dating or you're engaged or you're married, plan a date and take this question and just spend some time with God and ask, in what way am I ruining the relationship? You know, being prepared to come to that date and saying, you know, honey, my selfishness is ruining the relationship. You know, or honey, you know, it's my impatience that's actually tanking this relationship or this marriage. And I know your partner's probably going to say, okay, just be specific. Tell me where and when. When did how this happen? And that's fine. Just, you know, you can be specific. But what you want to do is you want to reveal what's going on you. And you want to reveal this thing that's hurting the relationship. And then you turn to God together and you let your requests be known to God. God, would you forgive me for this? Because this is ruining the relationship. And then your partner has the opportunity to speak redemption, to speak very great promises into your relationship. You're a child of God. You're forgiven. You're loved by Him. He will never forsake you or leave you. And so you go on a date, you reveal, in what way am I ruining the relationship? You turn that request to God. And then you have an opportunity to speak very great promises, to speak redemption into one another's lives. Now, there's some rules for this date, okay? Here are the two rules. The first one is, don't freak out, okay? You may be sitting there and maybe saying, your partner's going to say, honey, the thing that is ruining this relationship is I've been looking at pornography. And it's causing me to value beauty in the way that culture values it. And I'm valuing things in the way that God doesn't value it. And I'm seeing you as a commodity. And I don't find you beautiful anymore because this is shaping my mind. And this, I really believe before God, is ruining our relationship. It's tanking our marriage. Do not freak out. Just breathe. Ask more. Be specific. Let them reveal this thing that is wrecking them. And then make that request to God. God, would you forgive her? God, would you forgive him?
The second kind of rule is, don't share the list that your partner has. You know, the you must list. You must do this, and you must do that, and you must do this, and then you come to the dinner saying, I think I'm ruining the relationship because I don't put the dishes in the dishwasher. It's not going to help anyone. You're kidding yourself. Don't bring her list to her, and don't bring your list, you know, his list to her, however it goes. But you get what I'm saying. You've got to sit before God and say, God, genuinely now, in what way am I ruining this relationship? Now, maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, Ryan, well then, on what terms can we break up? You know, because surely it's okay to break up a personality and body and those kinds of things. I would say, and this is just my opinion, not in scripture, but in my opinion, grounds for breaking up is when one of the people in the relationship cannot ask this question. And I've seen it all the time. Yo, you should really ask that question. Yo, you should really journal and come and share how you're ruining this relationship. That's a character issue. For both people to ask this question, Peter said, you make every effort to add to your faith these character qualities. And this will keep your relationship from being ineffective and unproductive. And if someone can't ask this question and risk relationally and reveal their brokenness, the way that we have oneness is being broken together. That's where the magic lies. The way we experience wholeness is not to project to the world how great our relationship is, but is to be broken together. Can you imagine, honestly, if couples dating, and if even those that are married, would have the courage to risk relationally and ask this question? I think that we'd see less breakups at that first bump, and at that second bump, and at that third bump. I think that we'd see, you know, you change before I accept you. You change before I love you. You know, I love the future version of you. And you pull out your chisel and you chisel, 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 so that you get this product that you want to fall in love with. And you flip it around to say, God, I need that chisel on me. I'm ruining this relationship. And you risk relationally, and it leads to humility, and it leads to intimacy.